Our landmark ruling by the European Court of Human Rights says governments now have a duty to protect people from climate change.
Well, it follows a case brought by a group of elderly Swiss women who argued Switzerland's government violated their human rights by failing to act quickly enough to address climate issues.
Well, we've been looking into this case and we're particularly struck by the justification given by the lawyer who fought this very case. Let's take a listen.
Well, in Switzerland, it's particularly problematic because they have referendums. And one of the defences run by the government was, we had a referendum on this and the people decided they didn't want it. And therefore, we've done our best, effectively. But this is something that comes up all the time in relation to human rights. It's the conflict between this idea of democracy as just what the people choose and democracy as entailing some fundamental and universal rights which matter irrespective of what the majority decides.
Yes, this funny idea of democracy being just what people choose. Of course, that's not what democracy is. No, democracy isn't about people choosing. Democracy is about courts deciding what they're allowed to choose. Well, that was the case put forward anyway. It appeared to be successful at the ECHR. Let's get the view now of a barrister and writer. Stephen Barrett can join us. And Stephen, in your view, is it problematic, in the words of that KC who represented the elderly Swedish women, problematic that people voted in a referendum and got it the wrong way?
So, Tom, you know that I am fully committed to law and the doing of law, and I do not like to do politics in public. So all I will say is that if you think democracy is problematic, then that is your personal political opinion. It is a view that has been expressed by a variety of tyrants throughout the century. But it is not our current system. Our current constitutional system does not think democracy is problematic. And what I think has happened here, and I want you to know this, is there's a phrase, the mask has slipped. Mm. Well, this mask has not slipped. It has been utterly torn away. This is a nakedly political court which is trying to achieve political outcomes. And if you turn around and pretend that you're being a lawyer to me, and you say, oh, no, Steve, a document that we all wrote 70 years ago means that actually we can do this on climate change, then I'm afraid I consider you to be simply wrong. I mean, it is not in any way sustainable to hold that position. This is rubbish. They are, ever since they declared that document a living instrument, which is just posh, they have been doing politics via this office building in Strasbourg. And that is all that this is. This is a purely political action. It's an abomination if you believe in democracy, because it has overturned an act of direct democracy, the Swiss referendum. But this is not law, and they should not be allowed to wear the veneer of law while they are practicing politics. Mm. They should have no additional respectability beyond any other politician, and this is their political opinions. This court, as far as I'm concerned, has no legitimacy as a court.
And Stephen, how important is this as a precedent? How important is this ruling as a precedent? And what impact could it have on our democracy here in the UK?
Well, that is the problem. And a lot of the time, we have two problems with this court. One is that we don't recognise courts as political institutions. We have non-political courts. And our domestic courts work very, very, very hard. I don't know if you remember the Rwanda judgment, but the president of the Supreme Court went extremely delicately around the political issues, making it very clear he had no public political view on the plan and he was just applying the law. And that's what our courts do. So that's one major problem. The other problem is that a lot of the other members of this court can just ignore it. They don't have a system of precedent. They don't recognise its case law as binding. We unfortunately do. Mm. And that is why this political court is such a specific risk to us. You know, this judgment appears now to be binding upon our judges, if they've got any commitment to the Constitution at all, they will be screaming about this because they will not want to be political, and yet this is going to force them to be political.
I mean, it's been doing this for a number of years. That you highlight the particular problem for Britain here, and the details really matter in this. So thank you for setting it out. Is this why, in your view, the only British judge who was deciding on this at the ECHR wrote a dissenting opinion, did not follow the other judges, and instead say, no, this should not have been decided in the way that it was.
Yes, and we should perhaps count our lucky stars that we have the judge that we have at the ECHR. I mean, it's quite funny because, you know, I think he was born in Germany, is therefore a German national. But he's in our tradition. He's of our constitution and our law. And so he follows our principles and beliefs, and that's why he dissented and said, look, this is politics. Effectively, he says this is politics, not law. And he's quite damning. He says, you know, this may effectively destroy the court, which I think it very much may. The lawyer who brought this case was put forward by our judicial appointment system. And we might want to start asking questions about our judicial appointment system. We might want to do that. As a democracy, we can ask questions. It's not a question of our elites and masters. It's a question of us as voters being in charge. So we might want to ask questions, but our judicial appointments process put that Jessica Symer forward, along with the man who actually became our judge. And it was the ECHR that actually selected the judge that we got. But yes, it is fundamentally at odds with our tradition and our principles. It is not.
Stephen, how can we change our relationship with the ECHR without leaving it entirely? Other countries, as you say, have a different way of doing things. What could we do in order to make sure that national sovereignty is primary?
We could alter the way that it operates here by repealing or amending the Human Rights Act so that we control the flow of its judgments into us. We are bound by treaty obligation to put into effect its judgments, but that's not the same as saying that they have to be binding legal precedent here forever. They could become one-offs. I mean, it would still remain a novelty, but that's one option if you didn't want to leave, but you just wanted to control it. Leaving is a perfectly valid option. I mean, I'd be very surprised now if the Swiss, with their long tradition of actual respect for democracy, don't start talking about leaving. And I think one of their leading parties already has started talking about leaving. It is a slightly, I mean, this all goes back to the philosophy of Plato. There is a belief that elite individuals are best at running things, that the little people don't know what they're doing, bless their little cotton sock, and that we need really philosopher princes to run everything. Every time humanity does that, we slide into a strongman dictatorship, soon as mustard. You know, it's just a very slippery slope that we've been on for about 25 years since they politicized this court. And I think really now is the time to recognize it is political as a court. I'm afraid, as an act of protest, I put the word court in inverted commas every time I tweet about this institution. I feel no shame for that. I respect all of our domestic courts because they're courts of law and not places of politics. This is the place of politics.
It's your little protest. It's a form of protest, isn't it? Mm. Little quotation marks. Thank you, Stephen. We're going to have to leave it there. But as always, fantastic to get your perspective on this. Stephen Barrett, who is, of course, a barrister and a writer. So he knows his onions. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
No, absolutely. And the way that it particularly affects Britain as well, I think will hit home with a lot of people, that we follow this case law. We're sticklers for these rules. And yet they're being made against sort of our tradition of neutral law, of law not playing politics.
And he's absolutely right. The Swiss press are having a field day on this one, from what I've seen. Lots of very angry, furious people who do not like this as a precedent. But shall we move on?